Jayo Rara Madhava Jayo Kunjari Hari Jayo Rara Madhava. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Mara, Jaya Radha Mara, 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 Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada. Itai Guru Haribol, 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 Itai Guru Haribol, Itai Guru Haribol, 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 Haribol. Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai, Shri Pachatattu Bhagavan Ki Jai, Shri Shri Prajna Shri Mani Bhagavan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Iskon Guru Vrinda ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jai Guru Vrinda Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 24, text number 36, 63 and 64. Bhoja, Vrishni, Andaka, Madhu, Surashena, Dashahakaihi, Shlaganiya, Ihitaha, Shashvat, Kuru, Srinjaya, Pandubihi. This shloka is on the board. Snigda, Smidekshita, Udarair, Vakyair, Vikrama, Lilaya, Nilokam, Ramayam, Asa, Murtya, Sarvanga, Ramyaya, Snigda Smitekshito Dharair, Vakyai Vikramalilaya, Nilokam Ramayamasa, Murtya Sarvanga Ramyaya, Snigda Smitekshito Dharair, Vakyai Vikramalilaya Nrilokam Ramayamasa Murtya Sarvangaramyaya Snigda Smitekshito Dharair Vakyai Vikramalilaya Nrilokam Ramayamasa Murtya Sarvangaram Yaya.
Prabhus.
Matajis. Smitekshito Dharair Vakyai Vikramalilaya Nilokam Ramayamasa Murtya Sarvangaram Jaya Bhoja, assisted by the Bhoja dynasty, Vrishni, and by the Vrishnis, Andaka, and by the Andakas, Madhu, and by the Madhus, Shurasena, and by the Shurasenas, Dasharhakaihi, and by the Dasharhakas, Shlaganiya, by the praiseworthy, Ihitaha, endeavoring, Shashvat, always. Guru Srinjaya Pandubihi, assisted by the Pandavas, Gurus and Srinjayas, Snigda, affectionate, Smita, smiling, Ikshita, being regarded as Udarayihi, magnanimous, Vakyaihi, the instructions, Vikramalilaya, the pastimes of heroism, Nilokam, human society, Ramayamasa, pleased, Murtya, by his personal form, Sarva Angaramyaya, that form, the form that pleases everyone by all parts of the body. Transition by Srila Prabhupada. Assisted by the descendants of Bhoja, Vrishni, Andaka, Madhu, Shurasena, Dasharha, Kuru, Srinjaya and Pandu, Lord Krishna performed various activities. By his pleasing smiles, his affectionate behavior, his instructions and his uncommon pastimes like raising Govardhan Hill, the Lord, appearing in his transcendental body, pleased all of human society. Purported by Srila Prabhupada. The words Nilokam Ramayamasa Murtya Sarvanga Ramyaya are significant. Krishna is the original form. Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead, is therefore described here by the word Murtya. The word Murti means form. Krishna or God is never impersonal. The impersonal feature is but a manifestation of his transcendental body. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagaranda koti. The Lord is Narakriti, exactly resembling the form of human being, but his form is different from ours. Therefore the word Sarvanga Ramyaya informs us that every part of his body is pleasing for everyone to see. Apart from his smiling face, every part of his body, like his hands, legs, his chest, is pleasing to the devotees, who cannot at any time stop seeing the beautiful Lord, form of the Lord. Here we can see that many devotees, they assisted Krishna. And they were different Bhoja, Vrishni, Andaka, Madhu, Surasena, Dashara and so on. These devotees are there to give support to Krishna's pastimes. Because Krishna, when he performs his pastimes, he doesn't just come, does something and disappears. Very rarely it happens like that. For example, in case of Hiranyakashipu, he came and just to kill him. But even in that case, he came with his devotees. Prahlad Maharaj was there, the demigods were there, the rishis were there, then other devotees were there who were suffering under the rule of Hiranyakashipu. So in this way, everybody was there. So Krishna came because there was a need to appear, and he came and took care of the situation. He always comes, he has a mission when he comes. And his mission is always the same. Maybe it looks different in details, but the principle is always the same. Krishna says, Yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya taratmanam sijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharmasam sthapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. So here he says, he comes when the religion is not established. When devotees are suffering from the demons, to re-establish the religion, religious principles, to destroy the demonic tendencies or kill the demons, and to re-establish the devotees and give them shelter, therefore he comes every time. So here also, Krishna came for the same reason, And Mahaprabhu came for the same reason. We can see also Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Same way he came, he destroyed all the demoniac tendencies. Krishna came, he destroyed the demons. Mahaprabhu came, he destroyed demoniac tendencies. Because in Kali Yuga, basically, everybody has a demon. In Satya Yuga, demons, they live in different planets. Different planets. In Dwapara Yuga and Treta Yuga, then they live on the same planet. And in Treta Yuga, in Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga, then they live sometimes in the same body. Devotees and demons. Sometimes, especially in Kali Yuga, we can see devotees, we are devotees, even ourselves we can see, we have so many demoniac tendencies. And then we have to get rid of them little by little. We have a particular anatta, there is a way always to engage, and we have to engage. And Krishna comes to the material world to exhibit his pastimes with his devotees. So then those who are pious, like we are here, then we get attracted to his pastimes. Oh, I want to be part of the party. So we start from the beginning that we perform some spiritual activities. Then we perform a little bit devotion service and making Krishna consciousness as part of our life. And slowly, slowly, this being part of our life becomes we are part of Krishna's life. So that basically is a gradual step-by-step process from Shraddha to Prema. But that basically our aim is, Krishna's aim is also that we would be part of his pastimes and be one of these Vrishnis, Andakas who assisting him in the pastimes. So for that, Mahaprabhu came and teach us something called Sharanagati. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jivedoyakori Saparshada Sviyadama Saha Avatori. Mahaprabhu came to the material world with his parshara, with his associates and his holy dham for the living entity's benefit, to liberate everybody. Atyanta dullaba prema kore bare dan shikaya sharanagati bhakatera pran. He came to give this very rare love of God and to teach the process of how to surrender to Krishna to everybody. And he says there are six limbs of the sharanagati. Danya atmani vedana goptitve varana avashyarokshibe krishna vishvasapalana bhakti anukula matra karjira svikar bhakti pratikula vava vajnangikar. So it says danya, being humble. Being humble doesn't mean that people say something and we just blind, okay, all right, we have to be humble, Prabhu. Not necessarily. That's how we start on the beginning, because we don't know how to behave. But as we become devotees and we learn how to behave, what is Vaishnava behavior, then we understand that somebody does something, even as a senior person, there's a way how to tell the person that that thing is wrong. We don't want to walk up to, oh, Prabhuji, Maharaj, you said something really bad on your class, you know. We cannot tell that to people. But we can say, Maharaj, I have a doubt. Put ourselves in humble position. You're mentioning this and this, this particular point in the class. I have some doubt with it, you know, I don't know how to apply it in my life. Could you maybe elaborate further on it? What Srila Prabhupada mentioned on this? Oh, it's not like that. What I was saying, it wasn't that contents. It was actually, probably you misunderstood it. It's not like that. And he immediately corrects himself. Because sometimes it's just, we say something or do something and we're not 100% conscious of it. Because we are in a material world. We are here to develop our Krishna consciousness. We awaken our full Krishna consciousness. And then sometimes we do make mistakes. So even senior devotees sometimes do. So when it happens, then we have to approach it the proper way. And if we not approach, that means we not care. That's also one of the sins. We can perform sin by doing something, by saying something, by thinking something bad, or by being neglectful. These are all three, four ways to performing sin. Of course, nowadays in Kali Yuga, thinking is not considered that much of a sin, but it has
effect. We have to remember that we think something bad, it has an effect. And effect will give us that the problem will come from there, not directly from the thinking. So if we not care, somebody does a mistake and we not care, that means we are careless and we will suffer, we will get comforted. That's also sin. So we do have to tell people, Prabhuji, what you did is not exactly right. But do it such a way that the person can take it. Take a humble position. But neglecting is not humble. Somebody says something bad to you, and then, okay, we have to be humble. That's not the right mood. The person says something wrong, and he did an offense to you, even if you are just living at it, not a pure devotee, of course. We have to take that mood. But in that case, we have to still, Prabhu, please next time say it this way, a nicer way, you know, because if you say it like that, it's very difficult for me to digest it. If you say it like this, I understand the point, and then I will adjust on it. So please say it nicely. Because, and you can immediately bring the shloka from the Neti Shastra, that says that, Atyanta kopa katuta chavani, extreme anger, and bitter words, harsh words, or chinnani dehi narakasthitanam, or the signs of those who are living in hell. And those who are living in the heaven, they speak sweet words, madurachavani, nice words, speak poetic. If you see Mahaprabhu, see Advaita Acharya, see devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita, see Krishna, Krishna is talking to Paundraka. Paundraka call him a snake. Shiva is there, anger is there, is a battle. The passion is very intense. Krishna still speaking nicely. He says that, yes, but you are like a frog. But it is nice language. And you know, snakes like me eating frogs, you know. So that's your how you call it, destiny. You're calling me a snake and you're a frog. That's not a wise thing to do, you know. Should have called me a fly or something, and that would be better, you know. That would be more. You calling me a predator, that's not smart, let's say like that. Anyway, so then Krishna is still dealing nicely, although he's dealing with somebody who is very envious of him, very rudely behaving, but Krishna still deals nicely. Use nice words. Not just tell him bluntly, how you call it, rough and tough American style, you know. Not make any point on Americans, just what you see in the movies, you know, in the Bollywood and whatever, Hollywood and all these things, you know. That's not the way. People used to speak in poetry, nicely. Make a joke on the thing, and then people will get the point. And maybe sometimes only one person gets the point. Nobody will understand what we're talking about except the one person who's supposed to hear that. When Vidura is talking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and says that, you know, do you know which animal lives, survives in the forest fire? Yudhishthira Maharaj, nobody knows except Yudhishthira Maharaj. So yes, I know, the rat. Right. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj understood, Vidura making me a point, I should make a tunnel. Or there will be a tunnel under the ground. And when the fire will be there, I should hide in a tunnel. Because the rat, that's how he survives. Only Yudhishthira Maharaj understood that. Pandavas didn't understand. Duryodhana was there, he didn't understand. And Shakuni understood. But Shakuni, he knew that, that's why he let them to escape. He wanted them to escape. So Shakuni knew, Vidura knew. No, and Yudhishthira Maharaj knew. Nobody else understood. Why? Because it's poetic language they speak. Nobody else is supposed to understand that. Why should they? It doesn't belong to them. I'm talking to this person, not why everybody else should know that, what I'm talking with this person. It's internal conversation. Why should, it's not everybody's public display. Not like a newspaper nowadays, yeah? Something happens, somebody has some affairs with somebody, newspaper at the front page, you know, yes, this guy had an affair with such and such person. Something like that. Those who talk about somebody else's internal problems, They are Naradamas, the lowest of mankind. Those who criticize, there's another one also. Those who criticize others, they are also lowest of mankind. So criticize, criticism is very bad. He says, Kaka Pakshishu Chandala. Kaka Pakshishu Chandala. Amongst birds, the crow is a chandala, is a meter, is a low class. Then, Pashunam Chaya Kukkura. Amongst animals, dog is a low class, is also meat eater, eating garbage and dead animals. Then, Papumuninam Chandala. Those who are sages, if they're sinners, they are low class, if they are doing illicit activities. And he says, Sarvesham Chaiva Nindakaha. Out of all people, all beings in the universe, the lowest is the one who criticizes others, one who is blaspheming others. Sarvesham Chaiva Nindakaha. So all these are important to know, because if you want to be Krishna in Krishna's family, or Krishna's party, we can say, then we have to pick up all his good qualities and left to leave behind all the bad ones. Yeah? And the process is being humble and dealing with properly with other devotees. Next one is Atmanivedana. Atmanivedana means fully surrendering to Krishna, offering everything, whatever we have in Krishna's service. This often misunderstood in ISKCON. And not only in ISKCON, in other places also. We have to give up everything. It's not that we have to give up everything. We have to give up kamayanam karmanam nyasam. Have to give up the activities for sense gratification. That we have to give up. We have to engage all these things in Krishna service. It means we're doing everything for Krishna. We have our children, we raise them to be devotees. We cook what Krishna likes to eat. A way how Krishna likes it to be cooked. We cook proper food because Krishna wants us to eat proper food. Krishna wants to eat proper food. Yeah, we're not going to just, oh, okay, let's throw something in the pot, you know, and then, okay, let's finish cooking. That's it. I just offer some khichdi to Krishna. Yesterday we ate khichdi. Day before yesterday we ate khichdi. 3 days ago we ate khichdi. Last 2 months we eating khichdi. Okay, a little bit different khichdi every day, but it's khichdi. That's not Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada didn't teach us that. Srila Prabhupada, when he started Krishna consciousness in America, he cooked many preparations, not just khichdi. There were 5, 6, 7 kinds of preparations. Chutney was there. Sabjis were there. Once he got one of his disciples' case. He says, what kind of food is this? It's not even fit for dogs. Who cooked it? You ask the sweeper to cook it? Because they employ some outside people to cook the food for life prasadam. He says, it's not even fit for people, for dogs to eat. Srila Prabhupada was very heavy. He said, when I was in America, when I started, I had no money. I cooked 5, 6 preparations, 8 preparations. Yeah, that's how the Krishna consciousness is. Krishna likes to eat nice food. And unless we are vairagis, vairagi means sannyasis mainly, but brahmacharis also, they should eat less simple, it's more simple. But you can see how Mahaprabhu used to eat simple when he was eating simple. Rice, dal, shak, always have to be there. Sabjis has to be there. When Mahaprabhu was grihast, they used to eat more than one kinds of shak, more than one kinds of sabji. Many sabjis used to eat. Big plate. And Advaita Acharya used to get that big, what's it called? A banana plate. It's like as big as this table. So big. So you can see, that is culture. That is Krishna's culture. Eat properly. Don't eat so much, but eat nice prasadam. Chaturvidashya Bhagavata prasadam. 4 kinds of prasadam has to be there, yeah? It has to be able to sip it, has to be able to chew it, has to be dry and has to be with sauce. That's Krishna's prasadam. So when you cook like that simple thing, you just cook something, that's not really Krishna conscious, actually. It's easy, convenient for us, and we do that. I do it many times. It's wrong. We should cook properly. Because we're cooking for whom? For ourselves? Ah, that's a thing. We're cooking for Krishna. Krishna likes Kichri and something. Kichri is a side dish, it's not the main dish or only dish. Yeah? We should cook at least 3-4 because variety has to be there, mind has to be satisfied. We have our conditioned nature. Conditioned nature means we have our likes, dislikes, we have our preferences, we have our paraphernalia, what we like live with, our like a social status. All these things have to be engaged in Krishna's service. You want to be a policeman? Be a policeman for Krishna. Be a policeman. You want to be a musician? Be a musician. You play music for Krishna. You want to be a mother? Be a mother for Krishna. You want to be a husband, father? Be a father, husband for Krishna. That means you're representing that energy of Krishna. Krishna has that. When Krishna is a father, he takes care of his children very nicely. Always supervise them, lead them towards the transcendental path, give them good education. Then when he's a husband, then he is taking care of his wife very nicely. We can see in Dvaraka pastimes, Bhagavatam gives all that to see. Krishna says, if I not follow, nobody will follow. Bhagavatam devotees, they follow. Devotees, they don't have bad family life. Not in a Bhagavatam at least. Sometimes we hear our neighbors, they throwing things around, screaming at each other. It shouldn't be like that. That's not proper. That's not Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious means we represent Krishna to the other people. We are acting on behalf of Krishna. Doesn't matter how small we are. We cleaning the floor. We clean the floor how Krishna would clean the floor. The floor should be very clean after that when we finished. And we always try to improve on that. Okay, I cleaned it, but I see I missed out the corner. So tomorrow I make sure that I will get into the corner. Today I did it today I used only water, and after when I finished, there were some lines. So okay, so tomorrow I use water and surf to get better result. That always improve, make it better and better, refine ourselves. If we go to South India, we can see how refined devotees were at that time. We can see old temple Shirangam, or even here, you go to Ambika Kalna. The temple over there of Radha Krishna is beautiful. It's full of fine carvings. We can see the culture. How refined people they were. They didn't just make the wall like this straight wall and then like that. No, the pillar has designs all over it. That's culture. It's out in the even you can see today. Ladies get up early morning. By 4 o'clock they clean the whole house. And then they start doing the rangoli. Front of the house, they always must draw some rangoli. Otherwise, it's inauspicious. People don't have rangoli in front of house. People come and ask, is everything okay? Nobody died in the house? That's how it is. So, this is where the culture is. So much beauty is there, so much endeavor is there to just please Krishna. Everything, every single part of our life has to have that. Prabhupada once said, look at that sadhu over there. And then the sadhu had a water pot. See his water pot, how clean is the water pot? That how clean is his heart. Like that. How refined we are. Maybe he has only one water pot. And he has one gamcha and two sets of kopin. That is his possession. But whatever, nothing he has, he keeps it perfectly clean and perfectly nice. That is Krishna consciousness. He's a sannyasi. He's a renunciate. But whatever he has, keep it nice. Why? Krishna likes it like that. In puja we learn that also. Same thing we learn in puja. Krishna's culture. Krishna gets up in the morning, he brushes his teeth, he takes bath. Then after that he goes to his dresses up, put garlands on, making beautiful, looking beautiful, chandan, tilak, brahman thread, well dressed. Then he goes to the court and sits in the court. Eats and then sits in the court. And he doesn't eat in a bathroom. He doesn't eat in a court. He doesn't eat in the bed. Some people do. He eats in the prasadam hall, where he has a prasadam area. He takes bath in the bathroom. He does particular activity in a particular situation. So he wants to do an activity. He creates a situation for it. We can see he comes with his whole entourage, holy dam, devotees, because he wants to do a particular activity. So he will create the situation first, then he does the activity. He doesn't do activities in improper situation. Krishna doesn't come to the material world to render him lectures only. He sends Kalki. Kalki is Shakti Avesha avatar. Krishna himself, he doesn't come. Krishna only comes to people where they follow Varnashram Dharma. People must follow Varnashram. That's the bottom line. It had to be culture. Otherwise he cannot come. There's no way of interacting. There's no common ground. Like that. So we can see all these things in the same verse. How Krishna creates a whole situation. And then he exhibits all these different pastimes and smile. A beautiful smile he has. He's beautiful, very nice, sweet talk he has. He exhibits all that. And then we can get attracted to it. Oh, I want to be like that. I want to be with those devotees. I want to be with Krishna there. I want to see Krishna's smile when he goes in the morning. That's basically what we want to. And then what we have to do, we have to work very hard, give up our anarthas, engage them in Krishna's service, and then go back. Anybody has any questions or comments? Should we end? Yes, Prabhu?
In the Bhagavatam, it says that household life starts off with a big festival. But then later on it becomes a drudgery of just fulfilling duties. So in this phenomenon is actually common, and that people sing about this a lot. You know, they say, oh, the thrill is gone, or where did our love go? There's so many songs about this, so much poetry of sorrow of this phenomenon. In Krishna consciousness, is it just sort of taking that's just a natural course of material existence? Like with Gorkha Shordas Babaji, I read a biography about him. It said he was married for 20 years, and then he went on to practice devotional service, and then the rest of his history of his life. And the only thing mentioned about his household life was just that he was married for 20 years. There's no mention of what children he had, what happened to his wife. Or we hear about Raghunath Das Goswami, he was married and then he left to go be with Lord Chaitanya. And then there's the history of Raghunath Das Goswami. So what is that the way the material, is that just sort of natural that we should expect, or is that a failure in life if we don't have a happy marriage, it's living happily ever after?
Okay, there's elements to it. A few elements are there. For example, okay, let's start with the basic element to it, that things are needed. As long as they need it, they are maintained. And when they not need it anymore, we discard them, basically. So the idea is that there is a element of, let's say, for example, you need a book. Want to know something of a particular subject. You buy the book, read a book, you know the subject, studied it, then you don't need the book. You either give it away or keep it away, like that, whatever. You don't need them anymore. So your need is fulfilled. Now, when we get married, on the beginning, there are so many expectations from just a life. So many desires are there. So when the desires are fulfilled, then is not much need of it, actually. But then what happens? To make sure that we get out of the material world, we have to complete it. So when we complete it, we see all side of it. Different other features of grihastha life. What we wouldn't really think, wouldn't even see, but because we have a Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam points out, so then we see it. Children, they are very cute when they are small. When they become 10 or 11, let's say, then turn into monsters. And then after that, they become again nice when they become 18, 19, 20. Then they leave the house. They get their own marriage. Then our grihastha life basically over at that time, and we take vanaprastha. But grihastha life didn't end at there. Because then your son will come to you and ask, okay, I have problem with my wife, how to handle it. Then you have to start reflecting on your grihastha life, and reflecting on Bhagavatam, and reflecting on your neighbor's grihastha life, and reflecting on other people's grihastha life. And based on that, you give him an answer. Then you get a deeper realization. And then, when your vanaprastha life is over, then you take sannyas. Then you have full understanding of it, and it's done. Brahmachari learns how to perform devotional service. Grihastha performs his life. Whatever grihastha learned as a brahmachari, he practices it. The vanaprastha, I call it, contemplates on it and see how where he made mistake, where was proper, what was the Krishna conscious result from it. And sannyasi gives it up, keeping only the Krishna conscious result. That's basically how it functions. So on the beginning, it has to be nice and beautiful. And on the end, it's naturally will not going to be, the interaction will be nice, but the beauty won't be there. The wife will be not so beautiful at age of 50, 60. The wrinkles will be there. We're going to be old, walking on three legs, we say. We have a stick. So we're also not going to be beautiful anymore. So what we're dealing with, everything is going to be, there's a saying like that, Prithivara Maharaj was mentioning actually, that when you're young, you have a bad day. When you're old, you have a good day. So like that, so as it goes, then things are different. So then, yeah, we're giving it up one by one. Children can take care of the work, the business, let them have it. Children taking care of the house affairs, let them have it. Okay, you only take care of us. Even after some time, wife is getting old and she's sick, she lives alone. Okay, you have to take care of me. My wife is gone already. I'm ready for sannyas. Take sannyas, go and only preach. You live in the house. So as we don't need it anymore, we give them up. We can see the story of Yayati, just one few chapters before. Same thing. He was so much into sense gratification. He asked his son's youth to just enjoy. And then after that he understood, that's it. What's the benefit? What the benefit I got from it? The only benefit I got was a little bit of Krishna consciousness here and there. We did something together for Krishna. That pleasure that we did something for Krishna, that was the gem what we got from it. Rest of it was all the coal what we had to hammer off from the gem. Like that. So that basically what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I forgot you, Krishna. I went through all these different things, I did this and that, I forgot you. So whenever I remembered you, I was happy. And whenever I didn't, I forgot you. And now I'm remembering you. Now I understand all these things was all illusion. But if we're not going through it, We not and not have full understanding of it, we cannot give it up. So either we are a brahmachari and serve Guru, and by the guidance of Guru, a service we perform, we learn all these things and we can give it up, or we serve the family and the society as a grihastha, and then by the service, then we get realization and we can give it up. There's two options. And then on the end, both parties, the brahmacharis and the sannyasis, they give it up. They can walk off. Parishit Maharaj walked off. Pandavas walked off. They let the services, the kingdom and everything for somebody else to take care. But Maharaj Bharat, he said, I'm going to the forest. And then his wife was saying, okay, so then you leave the kingdom for your sons. He said, no, you're not qualified. I'm leaving the kingdom for Bharadvaji's sons. He's a sage. Their sons are very qualified. They will run the kingdom. He said, how can you not leave it for your son? You're bereft your son from such a thing. It's a kingdom. What kind of thing is that? He says, well, he's not qualified. They are qualified. He just walked off. Like that. They can be, how you call it, indifferent or make a proper judgment at that time because they see it. They've been there, done it. And when we speak to other devotees that way also, then there's a power there because, good idea you have over there, but you know, that doesn't work. You think that you can boost with your wife. It doesn't work. You want to get your wife's full energy. They have to be very nice to her, very sweet to her. Behave with you nicely. That's how it works. That's how you can tell that because you've been there, you've done it. You have a full realization of it. And you can say it like this, see from this way, and that way you can prove it from all kinds of directions. Why? Because you contemplated about it. You have full realization of it. You've seen it from many angles, from many grihasthas' life. And they full understanding. You see, immediately connected to Bhagavatam. Because you can see Bhagavatam in devotee's life. In everybody's life, actually. Even karmic life, actually, you can see Bhagavatam. Like that. Yeah? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu? Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you. I like the point about you say now humility doesn't mean you remain silent. But are there some cases I feel that sometimes when it's not our duty to correct someone or sometimes we feel that person may not be willing to listen to us or sometimes we feel that the devotees may be arguing about something which is a waste of time. So in those cases, is it okay to just not say anything or get involved at all?
See, if you cannot, then you cannot. That's how it is. But if you can, you try to do something. That's how it is. If you have the ability, if you are well trained, or if you just can help, or just tell them, Prabhuji, sorry, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I misunderstood the situation. I see something like this, and I think it will be easier for you, better for you. See, the mood should be that I want something nice for you. And not that I am better than you. You guys, you don't know how to do, you're totally fool. That's a wrong mood. Putting myself as a big guy, as a God, in position of God actually. But if you put yourself in humble position, maybe I misunderstood the point, but you know, I think that it will give you some suffering if you continue this way. So Prabhuji, why don't you try this way? It's my humble suggestion. Leave it or take it, it's up to you. Walk off. I did that once, standing in front of the temple here. Some devotee, he cut the line. And I cut the line, okay, whatever. You know, kids, they do also. But he was all happy about it. He was like, you know, I'm a big guy, you know, I'm the whoever, you know. Then I told him, Prabhuji, you know, it's not so nice that you do that, you know, because our ISKCON society is being criticized for this kind of funny behavior or not nice behavior. And I told him, see, Prabhupada, I'm only telling you this because, and they say, who are you to tell me this? I say, somebody who cares for you and because you're part of our family, Srila Prabhupada's family, or Guru Maharaj's family. So please, because of that, I'm telling you, and not telling because of any other reason. If you want, you take it. If you don't, leave it. I don't care. I'm not bound by sin. I'm not going to be getting sin for not telling it or not caring for you. That was it. And then he was standing there, cutting the profile. He said, this guy, you know. And I went back to my line. And after like 5 minutes, he went to the end of the line. Understood. Because I told him, I'm nobody here, you know, really. But I tell you because I care. If you follow, you will get good result. If you not follow, then you suffer. I not like you to suffer because you are also our family member. That was the mood. And he took it. Probably if I would approach any other way, he wouldn't take it. Sometimes you're lucky, sometimes you're not lucky. You have to be very careful also whom you tell. Yeah, don't go to the, what's it called, lion and tell him that, you know, are you hungry? You know, because then he's going to eat you. So you have to also see the situation. Where you can say, you say. Where you cannot say, you don't say. Like that. But if you can, try to help. Like that. The ending? Any other? That was the end. Granta Rachina Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, and there you go.